Blog Talk Radio.
American way.
Conscious leadership.
It's time, come on. It's time, come on.
Conscious culture.
You can do it, yeah. You can do it. Come on.
Stakeholder orientation.
Oh. American way.
Conscious leadership.
It's time, come on. It's time, come on.
Conscious culture.
You can do it. You can do it.
Stakeholder.
Uh-huh.
Orientation.
Oh.
Conscious. Capitalist.
King.
Conscious.
With
capitalist.
The Conscious Capitalist is a show that centers on the mission of Conscious Capitalism, an international organization started by Whole Foods co-founder and CEO John Mackey and Michael Strong, by featuring businesses who use business to elevate humanity. The Conscious Capitalist show focuses on spreading the awareness of the Conscious Capitalism business framework and core principles of higher purpose, stakeholder orientation, conscious leadership, and conscious culture. Conscious capitalists are entrepreneurs and business owners who endeavor to create financial, intellectual, social, cultural, emotional, spiritual, physical, and ecological wealth for all their stakeholders. We are committed to making a positive, measurable difference in the world. Your host for the Conscious Capitalist is Christopher King, who goes by King. King is the president of the D.C. chapter of Conscious Capitalism and author of the new book titled Connecting with Intent, Why Social Capital is More Valuable Than Financial Capital. He is the founder and CEO of King Connections, a benefits corporation that is a business leveraging consulting firm that specializes in developing innovative, customized business systems. King Connections helps clients connect with intent to build, manage, and leverage social capital to create high-value, connected, engaged communities. King is a co-founder of the Conscious Success Academy, an online academy for empowering individuals to become mentally and financially free. King is a community activist and leader and is a board member of the Montgomery County Housing Partnerships. King is a writer, speaker, problem solver, and self-claim leveraging connector who believes that happiness in life is when you love unconditionally, serve dutifully, and live with intent. Ross Girardi, Vice President of...
Hello, listening audience, and welcome to today's show, The Conscious Capitalist. I'm your host, King, and I'm very excited to bring you another new show, which we're going to be featuring in this segment on conscious leadership. As you all know, that's one of the four core principles of conscious capitalists. And so I'm very excited to, in that vein, introduce you to a guest who's written a book about conscious leadership or how to go about achieving or practicing conscious leadership. Today's guest is Alka Dillon. She's a D.C.-based founder and CEO of Technolink. An author of the new book, The Ohm Factor, A Woman's Spiritual Guide to Leadership. Alka received the 2012 Brava Women's Business Achievement Award, the Top 100 Women's Leaders in STEM Award, 2013 locally grown honor from Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship, and the 8th Venably Legacy Award for Lifetime Achievement from the U.S. Department of Commerce Minority Business Agency. Welcome to the Conscious Capitalist, Alka. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks. Nice to be here with you all, Christopher.
Glad to have you on board. Glad to have you aboard. Well, now one of the first things that we really love to do with our guests, I will say one of the most important questions that our listening audience have grown accustomed to us asking is, would you please tell us your story? In other words, what caused you to give your voice to the world? And what does that mean?
Right. So the story behind the Ohm Factor in particular, as you mentioned, I do have an IT services and management consulting firm named Technolink, and we're here right in the D.C. area, specifically in McLean, Virginia. And, you know, through my 19 years in business, I was realizing that there was no real connection out there that I had seen that bridged the gap between spirituality and the business world and how to handle things in the moment when you're experiencing them in the business world. And when I say business world, I mean whatever it is that you do with your day, whether you're the CEO of a corporation, manager of a restaurant, stay-at-home mother, it does not matter what it is that you're doing. Whatever it is, there was that disconnect, and I felt actually two big things, to be honest. One, that everything was a transaction, and that's all it was. It was going from deal to the next deal to the next deal to the next deal, until either your luck would run out or the client would run out of money or something would happen, you would run out of resources, something would make it end, right? The flow would end. That was one thing. And the second thing was that there was nothing out there to teach me or help me to deal with things in the moment when I'm hemorrhaging, right? When I'm feeling that feeling of anger, that feeling of overwhelm, feeling the feeling of inadequacy, feeling the feeling of resentment, all of those things that we all feel, not just women, that we all feel. And there was nothing out there. There were many self-help books and many business books, and they would all tell me, okay, you can go do these things and deal with it later when you get home. But what happens when you're in the moment with that client, or you're in the moment giving a presentation, or you're in that manager's meeting, or you're in a group setting? What do you do? So that's how this book, the journey of this book started, and that was the genesis of this book.
Okay. Now, you know, I think that's something very important that you said, that in the context that there are definitely a lot of leadership books out there, but there's nothing that talks about how to deal with in the moment. I think that's very important because our society doesn't help us live in the moment. Our society is constantly telling us to focus on the future or to live in the past. You know, so that's very unique that you talk about being in the moment. And so I just kind of want to linger on that being in the moment right now. And what would you say is one of the best ways to kind of get into the moment or have a person stay in the moment when they're trying to live their life as a business leader or, as you mentioned before, whether they're a stay-at-home mom? What would you recommend one of the best ways to really get into that moment and live and stay in that well?
Yes, you must, and the only way to do this, there's only one way, and I'm going to give you two methods, but the only way to do that is to anchor yourself into the soil of self-awareness, right? And how do you get and cultivate self-awareness? That is through going within. And what people call going within, they use the term meditation these days. I feel like, and even when I had first heard this word, I grew up with meditation, I want to say that, okay? So my father, who passed away 19 years ago, and you can read about that tragedy in the book, but he had taught me meditation. I would see him meditating at the banks of the Potomac River when we would go for family walks. He would at the end culminate it with sitting on a rock and quote unquote meditating. And I thought it was crazy growing up. I really did. I mean, I was never going to do that. And then, you know, something happens in your life that just completely uproots you from your very core. The carpet is pulled from underneath you. And that's why I use the term anchor yourself in the soil of self-awareness. You really need to anchor yourself, because to get that footing again, where you're not feeling like this is it for you, this is the end of the road, you cannot go on any further, and you are at your lowest point, there are no solutions, and I promise all of you, there are no solutions outside of you. That is all a myth. Going outside thinking that, oh, if I, you know, talk with this person, if I only talk to this person, or if I can get in with this person, or if I, you know, read this book, or if I do these 7 steps, that's going to give me that. No, there's no holy grail other than to your own soul, right? So how do you do that? You go to a place, whether that be in your chair in your office, I don't care where this is, it can be in your car, at your home, wherever it is, and you just sit, and you can sit in a chair if you have knee problems or things like that, or you can sit cross-legged if you'd like, as long as your spine is straight. Close your eyes, place your palms face up on your knees so that you are receiving the energy from the universe, and close your eyes. At that moment, you are simply and only, your only one job is to observe your breath without manipulating it, without judging it. You are just going to observe what is happening. You're not going to time the inhalations or the exhalations. You're not going to count them. You are simply going to observe your breath. What will happen is you'll begin to notice that your mind, our minds, are the monkey minds, and they're going to keep going with all the to-dos of the phone call you have to make, maybe the conference call that you're missing, the dry cleaning you have to pick up, all of these things, and that is okay because you are human. What happens is we, again, judge the thoughts, and we are taught by a lot of places that you have to be thoughtless in order to meditate. That is not true. That is completely untrue. The fact that you are sitting down in a place of stillness, physical stillness, is what brings you into that meditative state. Now, even if you do this for 2 minutes, you can set the timer on your phone prior to closing your eyes. All right, and I would encourage you to start with 2 minutes. Do not go beyond that if you have never done this before. Because what you will do is you'll do a phenomenal job the first day, maybe the second day, but you will digress and you will start to do it every 3 days, maybe every week. And you might think, oh, well, I did 20 minutes on Wednesday, so that covers me because she said 2 minutes a day, and I've actually surpassed that because that would only be 14 minutes. That's not what this is about. It must be a daily practice. So the time does not matter. It is the consistency that you do it, right? So you're going to sit, and you're going to do it for those 2 minutes. When the timer goes off, you just sit for another few seconds to recalibrate, and you get up and go about your day. You do not reflect back on it or anything. You won't need to, because your soul retains that feeling of stillness. That sensation of stillness remains within you. And then you will see after some time, and it may even be within a few days, that your interactions become true interactions and exchanges and not transactions, which is where we are in the business world. And that is where we need to become more conscious. So that is how, Christopher, I would recommend to get yourself to be used to feeling that feeling of the present moment, and that is only in that place of stillness.
You know, as I'm sitting there listening to you, I'm almost getting into that meditative state. You know, I had to catch myself because your voice is definitely so calm and so soothing, and I can actually reflect back to when I was reading a passage of the book that talks about that as well. And, you know, so I was really getting into that state. I actually thank you for writing the book, because I think it has really helped me get a much better understanding of how to meditate. You know, I've read so many books about the importance of meditating, and yours is the first one that really talks about meditating in 2 minutes, and that is something that I've never read before or heard before, and I thought that was very astonishing that you talk about 2 minutes, as opposed to, I've always had that challenge of trying to sit still for 20 minutes and, as you said before, think about nothing. That's a very difficult thing to do when you, your mind is constantly working all the time. So I like your approach to it. I think it's something I could definitely do on I have been doing 2 minutes a day since I've had your book in my possession.
That's wonderful to hear. That's great. And how do you feel?
I feel great. I mean, it's truly becoming a point, and as you mentioned before, it's a consistency that I like. It's the fact that I'm doing something new, and then I've added something new to my life each day that's truly for me. That's not a material item. That's not some external gift. That is truly for my internal peace and my spirit, and I love the way it makes me feel. So I actually look forward to now getting that two minutes a day into my life.
Oh, that's fantastic. That is so great to hear.
So allow me to shift focus for a moment, because I know as a conscious capitalist, our listening audience, you know, one part of the segment obviously is to get clarity about who you are as an individual. But by the same token, they want to get a better understanding of your company and type of company that you're running as a conscious leader. So with that being said, what would you say is the higher purpose of Technolink?
You know, again, I must go back to the purpose of, you know, Technolink is not just to conduct transactions. It is to enrich and empower our clients and anyone that we come in contact with a true experience. You know, as Maya Angelou, I believe she said that, you know, people will never remember what you said, but they'll always remember how you made them feel. And that is how to change, I think, the interactions to not become so transactional, right? And that's what you want. And I would encourage all conscious capitalists, anyone listening, just take you can apply this in your next meeting, right? Don't look at the end game. Don't look at the end game that I want to close the deal with this client, and that's what I'm going to do. And I know I need to nurture the relationship, and I know I need to do all these things. See, when we play that record in our mind of all these things that I know I need to do, they become a checklist, and that's not an experience. In order for it to be a true experience and be in the moment of that experience, you have to let go of everything and just be in that moment. The most important person is the person sitting either across from you or right next to you or right in front of you. That is who you need to tune into and align your vibration with and listen to what they have to say. There are many business books out there that tell you to, you know, listen to your customers and listen to what their needs are. I want to go one step further in that. Those books are, at least how I interpreted them, they were all, I got the message that, okay, I need to sit and I need to listen and I'm going to take notes and then I'm still going to deliver my pitch. Okay? Again, there's the end game. Listen freely, listen openly, truly listen. Deep listening is what it's called, and hear that person, and you'll find, and this is when you know you're in the flow, that that pitch, that thing you were going to say is going to completely morph, and you may not even use it, because you're going to hear from that person what they truly need, and your creativity is going to rise immediately out of you, because you're a spiritual being having a human experience. It is going to come out of you, and in that moment, you're going to come up with something by aligning your vibration. And I promise you, you're going to get a much better outcome. And that outcome, not only from this interaction, will translate into multiple deals together, not just this one. So I encourage you, if you want this to be a one and done transaction, keep on your path. If you would like this to be a true long-term, mutually nurturing, mutually beneficial, mutually abundant relationship, I encourage you to please check your ego at the door and be in that moment.
You know, as you were talking, I was beginning to think that I was recalling in my mind several business meetings in which I am listening. You know, as you mentioned before, there's a lot of business books out there, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People being one of them, you know, in which when the 7 Habits is, you have to listen, with you speak first, understand, and be understood. And as you're speaking about that, I think about how Stephen R. Covey talked about that we're taught how to talk as we are, you know, as we're growing up, but we're never taught how to listen. And
so true.
how important listening plays a role in our lives, particularly in business, but in our lives in general. And so as you're saying that, I think that's very important. I really want to bring attention to that for our listening audience to really understand the importance of listening. And like I said, not listening to be respectful, quiet, just waiting for your turn to respond, but truly listening empathetically to what the other person is saying, and as you talk about, really being in that moment. And I think that's definitely a challenge for a lot of folks who have never really done that. But what I like about it is I'm a person constantly seeking wisdom, constantly seeking growth. And for me, it becomes, how can I gain, what wisdom am I gaining from this conversation right now that we're having? And I'm actually taking mental notes and written notes so that even I work to improve my listening ability in this conversation that I'm actually going to be in. So definitely thank you for that. I appreciate
your
advice. It was definitely helpful. Now, as we continue to go on, one of the other key areas that as conscious capitalists, we like to know about each business owner is your core values, you know, your personal core values and the core values of your organization.
You know, to me, and, you know, for Technolink, and, you know, I think of Technolink and any business, and this is something I would encourage everyone to do, is look at your business or whom you work for, whatever it is that you do for you, with your day, as simply an extension of yourself. It is not the definition of yourself. A lot of times, and I do discuss this in the book, when you go to a networking event, you go and you define yourself by, hi, I'm the CEO of Technolink. I'm Elka Dillon, I'm CEO of Technolink. Or, hi, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Or, hi, I'm, you know, managing director at PricewaterhouseCoopers. You know, you lead with that, you know, because no one's going to sit here and say I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. No one's going to say that, right? But understand,
right.
Have that understanding that you are, that is an extension of you. So to answer your question, the core value for me, and that also then extends by extension to Technolink, is authenticity. Above all, above anything else, be authentic. Be authentic. That does not mean, you know, I mean, people can say be real. It does not mean telling the truth, right? It does not mean telling the truth. What it means is listen to your truth and then share and impart that truth with others and be that truth.
Be that truth. I love that authenticity, you know, being authentic. I think that is a core value that I've heard shared a lot among the different conscious leaders and conscious business owners that I interact with. But I agree with you 100%. Being authentic, I believe, is one of the things that we definitely, as a, putting myself in a position to be a conscious customer of a business. Having that business being authentic is something I'm definitely looking for. And I appreciate it. And I recognize that when the business is actually being authentic compared to the other businesses that I do business with who are not. So thank you for sharing that as well. Now, I think you may have alluded to the answer to my next question, but what are some of the rituals on a daily basis that you go through to keep yourself positive and focused as a conscious leader?
You know, there are many because I put those seven tools in the book, and I use every single one of them at different times depending on what it is that I'm experiencing. So, I mean, we did touch on my daily, and that is meditation. I started meditating 19 years ago, and I do it every single morning. And you can add it in the evening if you'd like as well, but certainly do it in the morning. Anybody can find 2 minutes. You will work up as you start with those 2 minutes. You will find, and it might take you years, but you'll work up and add on, you know, to those 2 minutes. And that is to me, the best part of the day, because once I'm able to go in and tap into myself without judgment, I then can take that and be my authentic self to anyone that I come into contact with. So any of those, the meetings that I have set up, any of the calls that I have, anything that I have to do, any of the people that I have, even my personal life, the interaction, it just changes, and it becomes so great because you then flow through. Right? Because the thing about the Om factor, why is it called the Om factor? Because people that have the Om factor, that cultivate their Om factor and have a high level of an Om factor, flow through life. Challenges arise for them, and they deal with those challenges without bringing emotion and judgment and trauma into it. They look at it for what it is, and they address it, and they move on to the next thing. And they're in that flow because they have that stillness within them. So that is something for me, that is a ritual that I do every single day. So that's paramount. Another thing, you know, that I found that I do is, and I have this in the book, it's specific in the moment type meditation that you can kind of do when you're sitting, even with your, you know, when you're in the office, because no one needs to really see this. And even if you're on the phone and you can only use one of your hands, it's called the Sat Nam meditation, S-A-T-N-A-M meditation. I just want to briefly go through it because it can help you right now. You know, when you're in that moment and you want to bring yourself to the present moment immediately, and you're in that moment and you're not sitting and it's not part of your 2 minutes, take one of your hands, take your thumb and your index finger and touch it together and say the sound sa. Take your thumb to your middle finger, touch it and say the sound tha, T-A, tha. Take your thumb to your ring finger and say the sound na. Take your thumb to your pinky and say the sound ma. You can do this with both hands at the same time, or you can do it with one. So you're going to go sa, tha, na, ma. Sa, tha, na, ma. You're going to keep doing that. And what that does is your fingers have very specific points. I'm doing it right now as we're talking. And they're neurotransmitters that transmit those signals to your brain. And they elicit a response that is very calming, but yet focused. So that's what I do for mental acuity when I need to be on my A game in the moment, but yet I want to be in that state still. I just do that. So my hand can be anywhere, and I'm doing it as I'm even talking with you. It's in much more greater detail in the book, but you can use this right now.
Now, do you recommend doing sets of those or just one set?
You can do as many as you want. Certainly if you wanted to do a certain amount of sets and you can do it, you know, a certain amount of times, like I, you know, write out in the book, that's fantastic. But this works, I mean, no matter how many times you do it, because you're, each time you do it, it's connecting even more. So if there are people that sit and do this all day long, so you can do that, or you can just do it for, you know, 10 seconds if you have it. Either way, it's going to bring you into that moment, and it's going to make you more focused because of the connection.
You know, now my next question, I want to set the context by sharing something I've read from Napoleon Hill. He talks about that when you read a book, you know, the second and third time, it's not that you learn something new in the book, you learn something new about yourself. And I've heard a lot of authors, when they write their book, they say how the book has helped them become a much more, either a better listening, a better listener, a more giving person, a more patient person. And so within that context, what would you say writing the own factor has helped you grow? How has it helped you grow as a person?
Oh my goodness! First of all, this book, it took me 2.5 years to write this book, the journey of this book. This book was actually, it was made through, it was birthed through so many trials and tribulations and just awful moments in my life that, you know, had come up and that you'll read about. And it just brought me to a place where I, you know, as I'm writing these words down and all the things that have unfolded in this book, it brought me to such a place of deep connection within myself and enabled me to kind of, you know, a lot of times we go through life, right, and we just go through it. And you don't even know what happened. 20 years fly by. 5 years fly by. 2 minutes fly by, and you can't tell the difference. You can't tell the difference. Mm. So putting pen to paper and writing all these things that have helped me navigate through all of these challenging situations that I've experienced, every single one of these, and the second part of the book, teaching the traits to cultivate so that your own factor rises, and those feelings of hemorrhaging where in the first part of the book where you're needing to use the tools, if they don't happen as often, and when they happen, you respond and you don't react. My goodness, Christopher, was it cathartic, I mean, for me, because I now have it written down where I can share this, and millions of people can benefit from this and apply this in their lives and maybe not have to go down the path that I went down and kind of incorporate these things, and hopefully it helps them. But, you know, the best part about it is that I now have this handbook, and we all can have this handbook to just, you know, once you've read it through once, it's fantastic, but you can even go back to the times when, oh gosh, you know, I'm feeling this right now, what can I do? And you can just go right back to that chapter and read it within 5 minutes and get what you need out of it. So I like that. I like that I have this tool for myself and for others, and I can share it with others, because that's what this was about, is that, you know, I had a lot of mentors in my life, and I want to, you know, give the same back to others through my experiences.
Have you thought about also making an audio version of this book as well?
Yes, it is in the works.
And you are going to read the. You're going to actually read
the. I promise you, it will be me.
Excellent, excellent. Because your voice, along with the book, because one of the things that I do that I'm really looking to gain comprehension and understanding, I actually buy the book and I also buy the audio book as well. So it gives me a chance to really reinforce the information. And unlike some authors who are excellent writers, they should not do the audio version of their book. You should definitely get audio version of your book. You have a very calm, soothing voice that really goes hand in hand with the information. And I can see how a person, that, and me, speaking about me specifically, I would love to just be able to listen to the audio book with my eyes closed and kind of go through some of the exercises that you're speaking of to really get that maximum benefit that of the tools that you're offering in the book. And I really think that this is a book that I recommend to all of our listening audiences out there for them to really grasp a firm understanding of what it's really going to take to be that conscious leader. Because as we talk about conscious leadership and conscious capitalism, realize that it's not a destination. You don't just ordain yourself a conscious leader. It's a path, you know, so you're always on that path seeking to become a conscious leader. And I think your book is definitely a blueprint, a roadmap for individuals to get on that path and, more importantly, stay on that path.
Blessings to you, Christopher. Thank you. And also, I want to tell the listeners, you can go on my website, and there's actually, and it's alkadhillon.com, alkadhillon.com. And the reason I'm directing you there is a free 5-minute heart-centered meditation that I do lead, and it's a guided meditation, and it's to manifest your deepest desires by connecting through your heart, and it's only 5 minutes, and then you can download it, and you know, I invite you all to go there and get it.
Did you repeat that, your address again, your web address, please?
Sure, it's www.alka, A-L-K-A, Dhillon, D-H-I-L-L-O-N, .com.
Okay, you said that's a 5-minute meditation.
It's a 5-minute heart-centered guided meditation, yes. And what you do is you just, you know, after you've gotten the book, you just put your receipt number in there, and then it's free. It just, you can just download it.
Okay. Okay, excellent. Excellent. Now, let me ask you this question. Here's a question that I think that's very important from the business leader and the founder of TechniLink, and that is this. Based on what you've learned through the years of being in business, what is one thing that you will, that you could say that if I had to start all again from scratch, I would do this differently? This is one key lesson that I learned. Is there one lesson or, I would say, wisdom, nugget of wisdom that you would like to share that stands out above any other you want to give advice on?
Well, yes. But before I do that, I do want to say what seemed to be these failures, quote unquote, I've learned that, you know, whatever's happening to you is happening for you, right? So mm-hmm. I've learned to accept that everything that has happened in my life and that is happening and will happen is happening for my benefit, and I am exactly where I'm supposed to be at that moment, and that is for all of us, right? Even if you are sitting, and I'm going to give you that an example in a second of something that I would recommend to not do, but still there was a reason for it. When you're in that moment and the deal has fallen through, or you know you. You've been rejected, or you didn't get that loan, or whatever it is that's happened, you feel to you is happening for you, because then you know it's not that another door might not open, but a window opens, right? A window opens, and my one thing, you know, I started TechniLink. I was in my late 20s. And I had at that time I thought that I. I had worked for a competitor for 5 years, and I had thought, okay, you know, I have everything, I know this, I got this, and I had a thriving, I was number one salesperson for that, you know, it was a Fortune 500 company, I was doing really well there. And what I did was I thought that would translate very easily, and I could, you know, start my company. And I brought the entire team I had there. They wanted to come with me. I didn't even ask them. They just said, if you're leaving, we're going with you, right? And I didn't think that, you know, hey, you're starting this on your own. You're not going to have the infrastructure, and you might not have the clients coming in the way that they're supposed to and where you thought it would. And because my ego was there, right? My ego was very highly engaged and involved there. So I would say to you that I'll tell you what happened. So we started, and the biggest mistake I made was not understanding that it doesn't translate. That company had, you know, 35 years of foundation set up, so they had that staff and those things, and me bringing that on was not very smart. So we had to we were able, thank goodness, to the people that we needed to not let go of, but kind of, you know, they weren't being utilized to their best potential at that time. We were able to find them other things and, you know, kind of start the way that you need to start and not bring your ego into it. So you can apply that, whether that's starting your own business or working for someone else. Know who you are. Know your capacity at that moment. Have goals. Definitely have goals. But really, again, what I learned, and I learned it then, really deeply, deeply listen to what the reality is, and, you know, things will follow suit. So that's one thing I would definitely recommend to people.
Okay. All right. Now, as we talk about the importance of having, you know, relationships, sustainable relationships in business, and getting beyond just transactions. You know, one of the things that I pride myself on when I'm in the business of is establishing relationships. I call them connections, and helping individuals do that. And the importance of establishing what I call to be keen connections, not so much as a play on my name, but a keen connection being that one connection that can significantly change your life by having that person add you to their inner circle. And then from there, your life will never be the same by being exposed to this person in a circle like Oprah Winfrey or someone of that magnitude. So with that being said, now, how important do you view strategic partners with helping you execute your mission when you start your company? And do you have a process in place that you use to determine which strategic partners that you're willing to work with?
Yes, and, you know, it does go back to being mindful of the fact that because you are where you are supposed to be in that moment, there is a reason why every single person comes along your path and in meets with you, kind of, right? How long that interaction is, how deep that interaction is, what the outcome's going to be is to be determined. I call it TBD. So what we do, you know, again, there is no set process, right, per se. There's no checklist. What there is here at Technolink is when you go into a meeting, you need to be able to, again, deeply listen and not go in with any other agenda other than learning, right? And you then bring that vibration to the meeting. And it then immediately puts, because everybody that's sitting on that other side when you're coming in for a meeting, even if they're coming in to present to you, everybody's guard is up because you always feel like you're going to be sold to. Everybody feels that way. You always feel that way. We're used to that feeling, and it's an awful feeling. Don't you hate that feeling? I hate that feeling. What a beauty it is when you can come in and change that conversation and immediately change that tone. You'll notice the body language of everybody that's sitting there. They immediately kind of just sit back. Their facial muscles will relax. You'll notice that. There'll be smiles, and then the process begins. Now, at the end of that exchange, that conscious exchange, you'll know whether or not that company or that person is in line with the flow of what your company's goals are, right? And we know that too at Technolink. We'll know that. And what happens is, the beauty of it is, there won't be that need to, you know, they always tell you to what you're taught in business school and wherever in these, in a lot of books is, you know, have that exit strategy, have that end game, know that you're going to have a takeaway. Your takeaway and goal from that meeting is to get to the next meeting. That's not what it is here. What will happen and what will unfold from that is you naturally will, one person will say to the other, hey, you know, would love to talk about this further. Let's connect next week. And you'll feel that connection and you will do so then. And that's what will happen. And that will evolve consciously into either a long-term relationship or a short-term relationship or no relationship, right? It will evolve
right
into something.
Right. I think that's powerful. Again, you know, you're definitely giving food for thought. You know, and I was thinking about what you were saying again about when you walk into that meeting and you not look at yourself as being an adversary of the person, but begin to listen and have an intent to listen. It kind of reminds me of a quote that Norman said about a mind at war with itself remembers not eternal gentleness. And what I hear you saying is really that everything stems from self-mastery or getting a clear understanding of who you are as an individual before you can go out and begin to interact with others. And the more you are at peace and calm and I would say knowledge of who you are, then the better you can actually engage in these other relationships. And don't put the transaction as the objective, but the establishing relationship to do something that's that you all cannot do alone. That's one of the things that I do when I enter into relationships. I'm seeking to make a connection with someone that we can now do something together that was kind of impossible before, prior to meeting an individual. And that's how I kind of base relationships. I'm forming off that kind of mentality in that context.
And that's great because, so, you know, the collective is just as you're saying so eloquently, Christopher, the collective is much, much, much better, much richer than, you know, the individual.
Yes. Now, to ask you a question as a woman in a leadership position, you mentioned before you have mentors, and I'm sure they played a very important part, a role in your life. Can you just talk about a few of the mentors you've had in your life that really helped you to become the person that you are today?
Well, the two most significant mentors in my life are my parents, my mother and father. They impacted me. The book is dedicated to my father, who passed away, as I mentioned, 19 years ago, very suddenly from a heart attack. It was very devastating. He is the person who has taught me most of everything that is written in this book at a foundational level, and then my experiences met those teachings through my 19 years of experience in the industry. And that marriage was beautiful, right, of the teachings with the experience. And that has unfolded throughout this book and throughout my life, and I'm, you know, very grateful for that. And my mother, a very, very, very big mentor of mine. She is the person through her self-sacrifices enabled me to live this life, which is a dream to me. You know, she actually had a master's degree in political science, came here from India, and, you know, could have worked and had a very successful, what people call successful, job and career, and she chose to stay at home with her three daughters and raise them while my father was in the restaurant business, and that just taught me just that unconditional love and compassion, and just, you know, really infusing that into people and really pushing others forward. And you get such fulfillment from that. So I have a deep debt of gratitude to her. in the business world, and I write about this woman in the book. I refer to her. Her name is Edie Fraser. She has been a tremendous mentor to me. She's a mentor to probably many people. I believe anybody that comes in her path, she is a force. She is the CEO of STEM Connector, and she is a philanthropist and many, many, many other things. But above all, she puts, and she really, really put her time in with me to align me and be a true, not only mentor, but a sponsor to me. And there's a big difference. She put her stamp on me and introduced me to key individuals that really, whether they be clients, whether they be other mentors, but people that have made such significant impact on my life, and then I can go on and do that for others. She was and is and continues to be a big person that I attribute a lot of that to.
Okay. Yeah, I want to take this moment to share with our listening audience a quote that I found to be from your book to be very profound. That is, you said, true leadership is not the act of leading, but it's rather cultivating a fertile ground within others. And I've never looked at it from that. I've never heard anyone express it in that context, never looked at it from that context. But when you put it in that context, it changes the way you look at leadership. And you say it's rather cultivating a fertile ground within others. So can you talk a little about the inspiration for writing your approach to leadership?
Yes, absolutely. And that is the key to this book, right, is changing the conversation around leadership to make it truly conscious and changing the definition of even conscious leadership a little bit and just kind of tweaking that. We're always taught, to lead by example. And that is not how I do things at TechnoLink at all. It is completely the opposite. It is truly aligning your vibration with that of the other person and creating that collective roadmap and cultivating that fertile ground within that other person. Because what happens when you do that? The one thing that happens is through deep listening, through opening that dialogue, truly opening that dialogue and cultivating that ground, you then cultivate the outcome of creativity. Creativity is the great manifester. Without creativity, you get nothing. No deal is done. Billion-dollar deals are only done through creative responses. They are not done through rotely memorized checklists and to-dos of how to go about step 1 through 7, and that's how you close a billion-dollar deal. No. That's how you conduct a transaction. So with leadership, what I found here at TechnoLink and in my experience in life in general, but especially here at TechnoLink, when I open myself and I ask the people that I'm blessed to work with, how would you do this? What do you think about this? Here, this is what we have in front of us. What do you think we should do? The first, if they hadn't met me before, which everybody has to meet me in order to come work with TechnoLink, I'm part of the interview process, no matter if I'm the CEO or not. But they're kind of shocked because they've never really been asked before, right? And what do we as human beings want the most? It's not happiness. Believe it or not, you ask somebody, the coined cookie cutter answer is happiness. That's not true. Really, when I've asked many people and they've truly listened to themselves, what do they truly want? Is they want to be seen. In the movie Avatar, they pronounce it Avatar here. I don't know if you've seen it, but the main character says to his love interest, and he says, I see you. And that just has such a deep, profound meaning. It touches your soul. That's what people want, is that I'm not sitting here as your manager or your staff working for you. I'm not your receptionist. I am a spiritual being having a human experience, and I would love if you would see me and what I have to offer, because it is beyond this job description and this title that you've given me and that I have. I have a lot here. And so what I try and do, and what we do, and this is everyone that is here at Technolink, is we try to see one another. And that is how you cultivate that fertile ground, because it is fertile. Our souls are fertile. And everybody here in Technolink has a practice of mindfulness and meditation that they all bring, and we all bring that here to each other. And it is just, it is a joyful experience to be here every day.
Well, I can tell you that you make it sound that way, definitely in the description of it, that's for sure. You know, and it reminds me of, again, a quote by Mark Twain. He talks about the two most important days in your life are a day that you are born and the day you discover why.
Love it, yes.
And that really talks about that purpose. And I like how your interviewing process of having a person figure out what their purpose is, and what's the purpose. And then once a person ties in and tunes in to that purpose, then pretty much that's when their life opens up. At least it has for me.
So true.
Well, we're getting near the top of the hour, and a couple more questions I want to ask you. Then I definitely want you to share with our listening audience where they can get the book and get more information about you and how they can contact you. Or any kind of future events you're going to be speaking at, which is coming up on June 8th. We'll talk more about that in a second as well. But one of the questions I want to ask you, of all the awards, when I read your bio, I mentioned that you received several awards. Of all the awards that you have won, which one do you feel is the most rewarding? Do you have the most pride?
I feel... You know, honestly, of all the awards I've won in my life, the award of being a mother, honestly, is the one I have the most pride in, to be very honest with you, because our children, what they do, they teach you so much about yourself and your shortcomings. You ask children, and they will tell you it like it is. Right. But in terms of the physical awards that I've received, it would probably be the 100 Women Leaders in STEM. I take the most pride in that because, one, the company that I'm associated with, in that there are senators, there are CEOs of Fortune 50 companies in that list, and all of these people that received that award truly are not only mentoring, but making a difference through STEM, which is where true change is going to happen, is through our youth, through our young girls, our young boys, especially our young girls, and getting them where they are introduced to science, technology, engineering, and math. And they're now entering STEAM in there, where they have the arts as well, calling it STEAM. But letting them see that true innovation comes from creativity, and true innovation, to be part of that, you must be a part of the program. You must be on ahead of that curve, and the way to do that is through STEM. And STEM created jobs, and STEM created degrees, and STEM related any type of programs that you can be a part of. That is where innovation is, and I am very, very proud to be a part of that group.
Okay. Now, your book is subtitled A Woman's Spiritual Guide to Leadership. And I'm just curious, why did you feel that it is a woman's guide? Because I've reading this book, I didn't feel that it was only a woman's guide. I felt that I was definitely being guided to spiritual leadership as well. So I was curious why there was an emphasis and a focus on women in the title.
That question is asked of me a lot, and I've had and continue to have a lot of female mentors, and I wanted to serve as a mentor for others. And so, you know, I wrote this book with that intention. That said, you can, you know, read that Dr. Deepak Chopra is the cover endorsement on this book, as well as Dr. Wayne Dyer, and They As Men, you in particular as well, are saying this, that you found it very helpful. And a lot of men are telling me that. So this book is, although it's designed for women, it truly, men can all benefit, because this is, it addresses things that are part of the human condition. And so although it started out that way, it's certainly evolving, and I'm open to it.
Okay. Now, one of my last questions I want to ask you is, of the four principles of conscious capitalism being, number one, higher purpose, number two, stakeholder orientation, three, conscious leadership, and four, conscious culture, which one would you say would you identify with the most?
Conscious leadership, 100%. Conscious leadership with the tweak of my take on it, right, of aligning your vibration with that of the other person and cultivating that fertile ground within others, with the person that's sitting in front of you, the person that's working with you, to cultivate that fertile ground and create that collective roadmap. So definitely conscious leadership.
Okay. And then my last question, being one of the favorite questions that I love to ask, I guess, is what is the best way in which the VC chapter of Conscious Capitalism can be an assistance with helping you fulfill your mission?
Oh, you know, the DC chapter is just such a, I was so happy when I was connected with the DC chapter, because it just you know, in meeting you, Christopher, I mean, you are just such a dynamic individual, but you have that you do truly listen, and listeners, if you've not met Christopher, truly, you truly deeply listen, and for you it is about being in that moment and having that authentic connection, which has been so great. And what I mean, the DC chapter for me is just, it's just a wonderful way to meet other like-minded individuals and to share our collective experiences and learn from one another. It's coming from that similar vibration, right? So where we will understand one another, and we're already coming with that open mind. And that to me is really great, because you've already crossed the hurdle of understanding, of bringing consciousness and spirituality into the business world. You've already crossed that hurdle. So everybody that you meet within the DC chapter is coming with that lens and bringing that lens into the fold. And it's wonderful.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And now, since we've reached the top of the hour, I would like for you to please share any information of where our listening audience can purchase the book or get any contact information if you want them to reach out to you directly or your publicist, any information you want to share.
Sure. The best way to buy the book is to go, it's sold everywhere, but to go on Amazon. You can go to Amazon, you can go to Barnes & Noble online, you can go wherever books are sold, and it is available there for you. You can also go to my website, alkadhillon.com, alkadhillon.com. There you're going to find a lot of information, not only about the book, we also have merchandise on there, there's my blog on there, lots of ways to connect. I'm very active on social media personally, so please connect with me. You can connect with me on Instagram at The Spiritual CEO. So it's at The Spiritual CEO. Connect with me on Facebook at Alka Dhillon. You can connect with me on Twitter at The Spiritual CEO, and on Google Plus as well at The Spiritual CEO. Would love to engage with all of you, especially if you contact and exchange with me, hashtag Om Factor, OMFACTOR, and tag me at The Spiritual CEO, and you'll definitely get responses from me. Would love to see your pictures with the book. Would love to see how you show your Om Factor and post that up there, so we can all kind of have this exchange with one another and raise our Om Factors together.
And full disclosure, listening audience, I will be sharing my experience of reading the Om Factor, and as well as we will be having Alka speaking at our DC chapter Conscious Mondays event, which will be June 8th at the Tower Club in Virginia. You can get more information by visiting our website at www.consciouscapitalismdc.org. Again, at consciouscapitalismdc.org, or you look for our Facebook page at DC Chapter of Conscious Capitalism. Again, Alka, thank you very much for listening to our album, so for being a guest on our show today, and for being a spiritual CEO. I love that title, by the way, and I think it's definitely one that represents you very well. And this has truly been a learning experience and a pleasure. And I can definitely say for me, as a person that's reading your book, it has brought me a form of fulfillment that I hadn't found in other books that I've read on the same topic. So I want to definitely thank you for that.
I'm honored. Again, thank you, Christopher.
Again, this has been A Conscious Capitalist. Until next week, everyone continue to live with intent. Thank you.